year to everybody.
Let's just open up with prayer. Father God, I just thank you for the privilege and also the responsibility of sharing from your word. Lord, I just pray that what I say may be honouring to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So there we go. 12 days of Christmas have very nearly passed. How was it for you? Did it match up to your expectations? You know, good food. I know I did. Good TV viewing. And an abundance of wonderful, useful presents. Does anybody know what last Tuesday was? Well, if you don't, it was dubbed Take Back Tuesday. It was expected that Britons were to return £207 million worth of discarded Christmas presents, which would most of them be returned on that Tuesday, so it's the first full day of shops opening after the holidays. Around one in four presents handed out this year, worth around £44 on average, were unwanted. There was a married couple that really didn't try too hard to get along with one another. So on Christmas, the wife gave him a burial plot for Christmas. He was stunned. I wonder why. But he didn't say anything about it. Next Christmas, she didn't give him anything. This was more than he could handle, so he just told her that he was quite hurt that she didn't get him anything. And she said, "Well, why should I? You didn't use one I gave you last year." Now, I must admit that I did get a few strange gifts from Maggie, my wife, this year. And no, one wasn't a burial plot. That's probably for next year, but there you go. One of my presents was a twin pack of scissors. Now, whenever Maggie can't find her scissors, or perhaps a special kitchen knife that you ladies tend to use for everything, goes missing, I get the blame. And to be fair, sometimes I am. So I guess the logic behind this gift was that now I have not one, but two pairs of my own scissors. So the chances of me mislaying hers were less likely to happen. To be fair, she also bought me some nice expensive aftershave. Now, you may wonder why I'm wearing this gold medal. Well, nearly gold medal. Not actually a Christmas gift as such, but given to me whilst we were away at Potter's Leisure Resort over Christmas. It was a reward for winning the badminton championships, the competition there. And I tell you, it was quite an achievement, as in the first round I was playing against a 16-year-old, and then I faced his dad, a 42-year-old, in the final. Now, to be honest, most of us like to get gifts, don't we? And it's because of this desire to please others through gifts that Christmas has turned into one giant buying and selling spree. Now, parents love to buy for their children, but they can't afford to pay cash for everything that they want to buy, so they act a bit like the cavalry and charge it. Well, they don't realise putting themselves into such debt hurts the family even more, because now they're paying it off for years, and quite often at an exorbitant rate. I've seen some adverts over Christmas, like boasting that it's only 99.9% interest rate on some loans. What? Yet a survey by a retail analyst shows that 2 in 5 parents said they had bought presents worth an average of £83, which were quickly dismissed by the children. What do you think pleased the Lord the most? Was it the gifts that the wise men brought to him? Or was it the fact that they came to worship him that counted the most? Now let's come on to some of the details. The one in which the Magi or the wise men were most remembered for. And in verse 11, we which Gemma read to us, they then opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. By the way, the tradition of giving gifts at Christmas did not originate with Santa Claus. It started with the wise men. Back then, bringing gifts was particularly important when you were approaching a superior person. These valuable items were standard gifts to honour a king or a deity in the ancient world. Gold is a precious metal, frankincense as perfume or incense, and myrrh as an anointing oil. In fact, these same three items were apparently amongst the gifts recorded in ancient inscriptions that King Seleucus II Canilicus offered to the god Apollo at the temple in Miletus in 243 BC. And also in the book of Isaiah, when describing Jerusalem's glorious restoration, tells of nations and kings who will come and bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. That's Isaiah 60 verse 6. The gifts they are bringing are expensive and they represent a worthy tribute. And in Jesus' case, there's more to them than meets the eye. Gold is one of the rarest and most expensive metals. It represents the wealth and power of a king. Frankincense was used as an incense in the temple worship to God. It represents the infant's deity. You know, Jesus was truly God born in a human body. Then there is myrrh, a kind of perfume that's made out from the leaves of a rose. It is often used, and still is, in beauty treatments. But when mixed with vinegar, it becomes an anesthetic. After a person died, myrrh was used to anoint the body and to prepare it for burial. John 19, verse 39, tells us that after Jesus died, his body was wrapped in linen around with 75 pounds in weight of myrrh and other spices. The gift of myrrh then pictures the suffering and death of Christ. You do know what would have happened if it hadn't been three wise men, but three wise women, do you? You know, they wouldn't have had to ask for directions. They would have arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole and bought disposable nappies as gifts. You know, sometimes it's important to sort out fact from fiction. Now, this was especially true when I had to interview either a suspect or a witness whilst as a serving police officer. Believe it or not, criminals don't always tell the truth. I can remember going to a house where a burglar was reported as being on the premises. I eventually found him under a bed. And I kid you not, that when I asked him what he was doing there, his reply, as he kept a straight face, was that, "Oh, I'm from Rentokil looking for woodworm." Did I believe him? Of course. You know, he never had a striped jumper on, or a mask, or a bag that had the word swag on it, did he? He still got nicked. I think we all like nativity plays. Now, unfortunately, Maggie and I missed St. Chad's one this year, but I'm sure it was good because they normally are. However, most plays are not based just on fact, but some fiction. You see, historically, the wise men never visited the stable, and there's no evidence to support that there was three of them. However many there were, and the chances are it could have been quite a few, they visited Jesus, as it tells in verse 11 I read, at his house. And when he was a child, not a newborn baby. It was probably between the ages of 1 and 2. Now, the timing or how many in attendance is not important. But what is the example they gave which we should try to follow. These seekers of God gave Jesus what they had. Their gifts were valuable and extremely significant. What gifts have we to give God, not just at Christmas, but every day of our lives? You may remember, probably not because I can't remember sometimes what was said the week before, but you may remember last time I spoke at this service, I threw out the challenge to lay our gifts to Jesus, not at the foot of the Christmas tree, but at the foot of the cross. The gold represents money. Have you turned over ownership of everything that you have to Jesus? Frankincense was a symbol of prayer. Are you bringing your hopes and dreams to God in prayer on a regular basis? Myrrh stands for suffering and for sadness. Have you given all your pain and heartache to Jesus at Christmas? Christmas can be a sad time for many people. These gifts served as a validation of their worship, what they thought Christ was worth. And it reminds me that we can't worship God without sometimes having to make a sacrifice. There's a saying that it's better to give than receive. It's actually a direct quote from Jesus, as Paul reminds us in Acts 20, verse 35. I'm not sure how many people, especially children, would probably agree with that statement as they eagerly await their sack full of presents on Christmas Eve. Let me read you an excerpt from Sharon Jane's book, Celebrating a Christ-Centered Christmas. And this is what she said. An African boy listened carefully as his teacher explained why Christians gave presents to each other on Christmas Day. The gift is an expression of our joy over the birth of Jesus and our friendship for each other, she said. When Christmas Day came, the boy bought the teacher a seashell of lustrous beauty. Where did you ever find such a beautiful shell? The teacher asked. The youth told her that there was only one spot where such an extraordinary shell could be found. And when he named the place, a certain bay several miles away, the teacher was left speechless. Why? Why, it's gorgeous, it's wonderful. But you shouldn't have gone all that way to get the gift for me. The boy's eyes brightened and he answered, long walk, part of gift. God came from heaven to a manger, from a manger to a cross, from a cross to the grave, and from a grave back to heaven. And we ask, why all this trouble, God? And God would say to us, long walk, part of gift. You know, indeed, God has given us all so much. As I wrote this, I was reminded of an old worship song we used to sing, Lord, you're more precious than silver. And the words went, Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you're more costly than gold. Lord, you're more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares to you. Some of you may remember it. For me to win my gold, or nearly gold, medal, took a lot of sweat and determination. In the final, I won the first game. My opponent fought back to take the second. And bearing in mind that he was 25 years my junior, I thought I was about to lose out. Although I'd previously won such a medal at Potter's, I really wanted this one because as each year passes, our physical ability can wane as we age. I'm sure most of us know that. Yeah. I thought this may be my last chance as I put every ounce of energy into my game to claim the victory. is probably the best that I've ever played. My friends, God has an unending supply of treasures for us all. And the good news is that we don't have to sweat and toil to get his reward. Through the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we have treasures here on earth, and even more awaits us in heaven. As the African boy said, God would say, long walk, heart of gift. As we walk with God, may we never forget the cost of his gift. May we be ever grateful and give him the adoration, praise, and worship that he deserves. If you haven't yet started to walk with God, may I encourage you to do so. Now, just as I was determined to seize the moment, maybe my final medal victory, start your walk with God today. Don't miss the opportunity. It may be your last chance. Who knows what tomorrow will bring? And if you're missing in heaven, you will only have yourselves to blame. You can't blame me like Maggie can with the scissors. You either take, accept, or reject the offer. Accept God's gift today. Don't reject or discard it. It's the only gift that can take a lifetime to completely unwrap. All of us are on a learning curve. There's more to know about God every day till we get to heaven. And you know, as I've said before, not only that, but it's the only gift that has a lifetime and a beyond guarantee.
I'm sure you all know what the last verse is.